Today's Tuesday, July 31st. It's new hardware day, probably.
Probably. Not like we're recording this before that day. It was a weird week for news this week. There was a huge amount of security news. Just a massive amount. I guess it's most of it's bad. And the government news was huge, but there wasn't a lot of it. Not a lot of selection. Also, the social media news, which I'm sure some of you have heard a lot about. So that's what we're doing today. We're doing government and social media.
I was noticing that the trend, I was thinking about like the years of doing the news, and I've noticed that the trend is like more and more officials that are not normally in technology are getting clued into technology. And it's looking like four or five people that didn't previously know about technology that are getting into technology are just straight up looking for how to abuse the common citizen with technology.
Well, there is that one senator. Oh, I can't remember his name. Who is the guy? He's in like three of these stories.
Ron Wyden.
Yeah, Wyden. He is just like constantly, every little thing is like, get rid of Flash. We got to switch to this. Stop doing this. And he's just constantly writing letters. So
he's the one that's been red-pilled. But, I mean, he's red-pilled for the force of good. He's like the one out of four that...
Yeah. He seemed... Well, you can't discount that he's just doing it for political motivation. But that's like friend of my friend, maybe, kind of thing, where it's okay. We'll take it.
Three out of the four senators are saying, you know, how can we exploit Flash on the government desktops to spy on people and take over and, like, give myself more power?
Well, one politician that we can be damn sure is not in the same column as Wyden is Ajit Pai.
Ajit Pai and Wyden are actually clashing in this article, which is great. So, like, why is Ajit Pai in the news yet again? Is it net neutrality? Is it, you know, some shady something? Well, it's exciting.
Yeah, so Securus. If you don't remember Securus, Securus was kind of the Cambridge Analytica that came after Cambridge Analytica. It wasn't as bad, but it was the same kind of thing. Well, it turns out Ajit Pai did some law work for them prior to his chairmanship. And so that would be a conflict of interest, right? So he should recuse himself from that investigation. He says no.
He says no in the same sense that it's like, I'm not crazy, and I know that I'm not crazy because I was certified as not crazy.
So, yeah. Couple of people, including Wyden, have pointed it out, and they're like, you should not investigate this. You shouldn't be a part of this. And he's just like, no, it's fine.
He did say that he talked to the FCC general counsel about it, and that guy said that he's probably okay to work on this. But, I mean, I don't know. It still seems like when you're in a public office, you would think that, I don't know. It just
And why not? Wouldn't that be easier on you, you know, as a, it's like, hey, yeah, I'll take a week with a lighter load. Yeah, let somebody else deal with this. But he wants to, and why would you want to?
Unless you want to steer it some way, exactly, or yeah, manipulate the process. It's so transparent. Like, if an ordinary citizen were attempting this, I think that it would probably be a situation where, like, they were brought up on charges later or something.
Well, yeah. Or if a judge did it, think about if a judge did that. If a judge had been practicing privately for Securus, then became a judge, and then that was their case, no way could that go on.
Now, the other thing that Ajit Pai is really hoping goes away soon are all those pesky questions into that DDoS attack where it's like, you know, our fine public commenting system was targeted and overtaken by miscreant hacker kids and their dog, too.
And basing that on the fact that it happened under Wheeler's watch as well, which Wheeler has publicly said that never happened.
I like how it's like retroactive. It's like we're going to spin it this way now that we're in charge. But the other people that were in charge the other way are spinning events the other way. I mean, how is that not 1984? How are we trying to retroactively rewrite the past? So dishonest.
Well, what else can you do? I mean, if that comes to light, how embarrassing is that going to be? And there's going to be legal implications, right?
I think he's so, like, he is not capable of embarrassment. Embarrassment implies some things that he's
human
not
emotion.
Yeah, so I just.
But yeah, he's using this whole, the excuse now is, I need to get a letter from the Oversight Committee, which is all Republicans, that says it's okay for me to talk to you about this. But this is the other Senate committee that he's talking to. So he's like, I can't tell Senate Committee B anything unless Senate Committee A tells me that I'm allowed to tell them that, which...
That seems very disingenuous.
They should be, as far as rank, they should be on the same level, right? So why would you need permission? And he knows that letter is not coming because that's the Republican team, and they're happy to keep all this a secret.
That should be a felony. It's like wasting taxpayer resources to that extent. It's just... So, like, if your argument is so disingenuous that you're just blatantly wasting taxpayer dollars on this procedural nonsense, that's a felony.
Well, that and then the Freedom of Information, they're all backed up. They haven't answered one since, like, last year sometime.
Yeah.
And anything they do give people, they black it all out. You basically just get, you know, black lines on paper. And so it
seems like democracy is working great.
Well, it's working great for him. So, you know, a lot of people would say as designed. So here we are. I don't think we're ever going to we've gotten to the bottom of it, I think, technically.
Yeah.
Most people who are interested in this kind of thing, they know what happened, which is people didn't like getting rid of net neutrality and they spoke out. And, you know, it was the herd. It was the John Oliver thing. People were like, what? But there was no hacking.
The IT guy who had previously said there was actually hacking decided that for himself just because of the volume of traffic. And so there's really, if you haven't read that, you should go read that, because the IT guy was basically caught red-handed manipulating things.
And they've also said that they're going to fix it, but they're seeking a new budget, which they have to get so many hundreds of thousands of dollars to install a CAPTCHA. So good news. Maybe sometime in 2022, we'll get that. Whatever pies. How long is he in for? How long does that position last?
Even the CAPTCHA thing is disingenuous, because in order to use the API, you have to apply for a key. So, you know, like if level one were to build some kind of interface for this for submitting comments, and then our system ends up being abused, those comments are going to be associated with our key. It would be easy to fix that.
Well, I think he's just saying add a CAPTCHA at all. Like, he's acting like it's going to take a literal act of Congress to install a CAPTCHA on the FCC website.
Felonious wasting of taxpayer dollars.
Well, the EU, it's been a busy week for the EU. They are handing out fines like candy over there. And first on the chopping block is Asus, Denon and Marantz, Philips and Pioneer.
So this is because of price collusion in the consumer electronics industry. This is like the consumer electronics division of Asus and these other companies, not computer components, at least not yet.
Well, laptops was one of them. I think Asus was in it for laptops.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, this is just, they were telling online retailers, hey, do not sell for less than this price or we won't do business with you. Which is quite illegal under the EU rules, and probably here too, I would imagine.
Was that wrong? Should we not have done that?
So 130 million, actually none of them paid 130 million, because as soon as you cooperate, as soon as you agree to the extortion, they cut it in half. So most of these guys were paying like, you know, 60.
I think they're still complaining about it though. They expected it to be reduced even more because they cooperated.
So yeah, slap on the wrist. They probably covered at least that much by cheating, maybe more. So as often with the big banks, they make more money cheating than they do paying the fine. So why would they ever stop paying the fine? And this story, this kind of blew my mind, because we've seen this percolating. It's been a slow build. The New York Attorney General has gone to war with the ISPs. And you kind of get the impression that, like, there was a closed door meeting somewhere and they were like, listen, we're going to do what we want. There's nothing you can do about it. And he was like, hold my beer.
It sure looks that way. The New York State Commission thingy has ordered a charter out of the state and says that it must sell its Time Warner cable system.
And this...
60 days to get out.
They say they're going to appeal it, but it kind of sounds like there's nowhere to go from here. Like, this is happening, which is shocking. You wouldn't think it would. But yeah, they're saying sell off all your assets, you're out. You're done.
No, it's going to go one of two ways. One, Charter or Spectrum, you know, whoever, is going to lean on their political connections, and they're going to make all this go away politically. And it's going to be like something that we report on the Level One News is like the most amazing and blatant story of corruption. And it's like, wow, just look at how deep this rabbit hole goes. That's option number one for how it goes. Option number two is that they are literally going to sabotage their own infrastructure and make all of the people that are currently subscribing to them suffer horribly as much as possible in order to try to discredit the politicians.
So you're wondering, how can you just throw out an entire ISP? What do they have to do? What sort of horrible sin do they commit to get thrown out? And they lay it out here. It's repeated failures to meet deadlines, and that has to do with rolling out service. Skirt obligations for rural communities. You know, if you're in the sticks, they will not give you service. Can confirm, Time Warner, real bad about that. Unsafe practices. I'm not sure exactly what that points to. I think it's like the high-rise buildings.
They also got in trouble in New York for running their lines too close to high voltage lines.
So the failure to commit to the terms of the merger. So they merged and they were like, hey, if you let us merge, we're going to do all these great things. And it's going to be sunshine and roses for everybody. They didn't do any of it. And then the purposeful obfuscation of its performance. So that's basically them being like, you know, all those promises we made, here's what we did. And then you look just two pages in and you're like, this is all just stuff that was already there. You didn't do anything new.
Yeah.
And so
this is all of this stuff is stuff that we of the Level One News have reported on ad infinitum. And it is nice to be vindicated that there are people that agree with us. This is not political. Like, this is going to be framed as like some kind of a political thing, but when, like, New York is one of our most wealthy and advanced states, and New York City is a monument to civilization and mankind, as terrible and as great as it is. And the ISP situation all over New York is so bad. It's like third world country bad. It's like Australia bad.
I don't know if I'd go that far. Well, I meant to put the two UK stories together, and I screwed up and I put that New York story in the middle. What a terrible faux pas. But let's switch gears. We'll go back to UK and we'll talk about another big thing that they've handed down. And they're saying, we got to get tough on fake news.
I'm really surprised that this is coming from fake news and not copyright law. What's going to happen as soon as the copyright lobby realizes what's going on here? The copyright lobby is going to jump on this and be like, "Yeah, man, that fake news. Oh, the fake news is terrible. It's crushing humanity. We got to do something about it because it will be made. Those mechanisms will be made into copyright control."
So what they're talking about is Facebook is the example that they use, but it would affect everybody. If you are disseminating fake news, then the government should step in and do make liable. I don't know what make liable means. Maybe you can be sued. Maybe there are fines built into it. No one knows exactly what that means. But this brings up, when you talk about fake news, the inevitable question. I mean, if you think through it just a little bit, the inevitable question is, who decides? And I think what the EU or the UK, actually UK, not the EU, UK lawmakers are saying is, we decide. And that's terrifying. If you're not terrified of that, then you need to look more into it.
Think about, there are reports going back to the 1980s, if you really want to go that far back. But there are credible reports from, there was a bunch of leaks in 1998 about this massive spying apparatus between the NSA and the GCHQ and just all this stuff. And there was no real, like, super credible evidence. But, you know, there were some reports and some rumors and some, you know, like Alex Jones type stuff in the late 90s. And that was all considered fake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of, you know, things that the government has done that even I would have considered fake. It's like, there's no way. And we've kind of been desensitized to it, if you think about it. But as we've gone along, they all get proven true. And people just kind of, you know, they move on. They forget about it. But let's think about how bad. Another story coming up. This is the anniversary of Cambridge Analytica.
Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy, right? That was a year ago.
Yeah.
Nothing's happened.
And Equifax.
And we just forget. Oh, yeah. It's not Cambridge Analytica. It's Equifax, yeah. This is the one that started it all.
That's a great lead-in for our next story, which is the UK snooping investigation, just like what I was talking about. It's unlawful for more than a decade. Literally, this is fake news.
A lot of people would consider this fake news. So when you read into this, it's not that they're saying they're not allowed to do it. But what they're saying is there was an infrastructure set up. There was a way this was supposed to work. So you're supposed to get permission, and then you're supposed to go to the ISP or whoever you're dealing with, the wireless carrier, and you show them the document that says, this is what we're allowed to look at. But the way it was done is you got permission or not, and you went to the ISP and you were like, I am the law. And you got whatever you wanted. They hadn't been showing them any sort of scope or proof or whatever. And the ISPs were like, all right, here you go. You're in charge, right? So they were just doing it wrong. But it's important to note that they're not going to stop doing it.
I'm not sure about the UK specifically, but I do know that specifically with AT&T in Atlanta here in the US, it was exactly the same kind of arrangement. And the way that they met their obligations for law enforcement was to just provide law enforcement a direct shunt into the main AT&T network for all telecommunications, long distance, email, internet, leased lines, which are lines that are not even supposed to be on the internet that were point to point that happened to be running through the data center. All of that traveled through the trunk, and AT&T didn't have any oversight as to what was being looked at or not. It was just a big pipe going into an office, a government office somewhere where they could look at whatever they wanted.
I don't think it was quite that bad here, but it was the case where just whatever they asked for, they were given. So, and it should have been that they were given the warrant itself, or well, however they do it over there. And the ISP would be like, okay, I'm reading this document, and here's what it says to give you, and I'm going to give it to you. But they never did it like that.
So you guys in Europe should probably look into this a little bit more to know how you've been wronged. I wonder if that's eligible for like tort damages or something like that. Like, can you... Now that the damages are shown, like, can you recover anything monetarily?
Nah, because there's that. I mean, I don't know. We have that law where you can't sue the state apparatus. So.
We did horrible, horrible things, but apparently it's okay for war crimes, though. Like, you know, if you're on the losing side, you've got reparations and all that.
But that would be another country. A citizen cannot sue the government, but another country, I suppose, could do like an international court. That'd be a different thing. Well, the MPAA, you don't hear as much about them these days. And I wonder if that bothers them. I bet they miss the spotlight.
No, they're scheming in the background. They're like cockroaches. Just because you don't, like, you might have thought you got them under the control, but they're still breeding in the wall, I assure you.
Each of them lays thousands of eggs per mating, so you never really get rid of them. Well, I'm sure if they get their way here, it's going to apply to everything, but they're pretty much talking about the whole Kodi streaming boxes type of deal.
Yeah.
And in their opinion, that's a criminal act.
Yes. Well, it's funny. I debated on whether or not to share this. So I have Kodi at home, but I don't use the streaming part of it. I have my media collection that I've gathered over the years by capturing stuff from television and editing the commercials out. I even have some scripts for automatically detecting and removing commercials. That's how I built my Star Trek collection. And it's okay. It's not perfect quality, but for most of the runs of Star Trek that I care about, it's basically okay. But in their minds, I'm sure that that's piracy.
Do you have Discovery in that collection?
No. There's no Discovery in that.
Yeah, so they're saying if you are operating one of these sites, and here was the scary part, if you author a plugin that accesses them. So just by building a plugin, you don't sell it to anybody. You don't actually build the hardware. You don't ever offer any copyright material, but just by building a plugin that could access them, you become criminally liable if they get their way.
Seems like a bit of a stretch.
A little scary.
A plugin for accessing YouTube because people uploaded pirated material to YouTube, does that count? I mean, that seems like that would count in this definition.
Yeah, absolutely it would. And they'd take you to court whether it counted or not, and then you got to get it in front of a judge who you hope understands that discrepancy.
This is like the VCR. Like, the VCR almost wasn't. It was... Like, the copyright lobby didn't want VCRs, and it went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it was one of those 5-4 things where different people being in, like, we wouldn't have VCRs. This is like that.
Well, we talked about Senator Wyden and so many stories about him this week, and one of them, again, he is championing for the side of good. He wants to, it's down with flash, is what he's saying. Government computers should not have flash.
That's just good computer hygiene. I mean... This should have already been a thing.
Yeah. So he wants all federal websites to exclude flash by next year or happens next year. And then by in the 20s sometime, get flash uninstalled from all computers and make sure that it's, you know, never gets near them again.
The interesting thing with flash on government computers is that a lot of the time government computers are so old, they're running such, like, they'll only run Internet Explorer from like 20 years ago. And so it's really hard to build modern applications not with Flash, because they just won't update.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, when you're talking about, when people are ringing this Russia bell every day, can you make that argument? Isn't security more important no matter what?
Yeah.
I mean, make them use the command line.
It was long overdue. Maybe Microsoft is going to be like, all right, we're going to upgrade the entire U.S. government to Windows 10.
Yeah, for $1 billion.
Probably like $40 billion.
Well, and some more, I suppose this is more good news. There's a lot of, again, I'm so jaded when it comes to government. It's like, are they just doing this for the headline or do they mean well? But two big stories out of Massachusetts, and this one's interesting. So they've looked at Ajit Pai, you know, he entered those rules where it was like, we're getting rid of net neutrality. And by the way, you're not allowed to ever try to get it back. Like, that's pretty much the thing that he passed. So they're saying, okay, we won't try to get it back, but we're going to shame you if you don't give it to us.
Again, for this to work, they have to feel shame.
That's true. That's an excellent point. But what they're doing is they're setting up a sort of a registry for ISPs, and you can go on the bad list. It's like the Santa Claus of ISPs.
Remind me again what ISPs have the worst customer service in history. Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter.
The biggest and most popular ones. That's who. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be super effective. I suppose, and, you know, the way they're touting it is from a consumer standpoint, you can look them up and say, oh, I don't want to do business with this one that's on the bad list. But who has a choice? There's usually one good option.
It's like the mafia. It's like, I'll just deal with this other mafia.
Yeah. If you have that choice, because usually they don't operate in the same area because they know that that'll lead to violence. So, yeah, what are you going to do? And number two from Massachusetts, they are getting into the right to repair fight. Kind of.
They want a study. They're commissioning a study.
I mean, that's a 6-month study. You talk about the slow wheels of government. This is certainly that. But it's a step, a baby step, I suppose.
Is this necessary because of all the fake news? It's like, oh gosh, there's just so much fake news around right to repair. We're going to have to commission our own academic study.
I suppose, yeah. Or this gives them the chance to fill the board up with industry people. So they can be like, well, we did this study and it seemed like it was fine. There's no need for a right to repair. Everybody's happy. And so in the theme of
everybody's state, happy except for people in Alaska.
Well, state government. So Alaska was one of those states who was very net neutrality friendly.
Because it's very rural.
For a while. Yeah. And you get the idea that in Alaska, you know, have those tiny little towns and the Congress people have to eat breakfast down at the diner. So they actually have to deal with the constituents. And so this guy actually had a meeting, some woman who runs a website in Alaska. She was like, we need to talk about this. And she sort of explained it to him. And he was like, oh, well, I don't see why anybody would vote against that. You know, we need that. And then a couple months later, completely turned around 180.
Yeah.
With no explanation.
There's so much money involved in that. It's just, it's nuts.
So the Alaskans are up in arms. He's turned on them. His excuse is he doesn't want to support at the state level because he believes an act of Congress is the only way to deal with it. But I don't see how you can't have both, right? I mean,
start small and go from there.
Yeah.
Just put a thing like the first sentence of your state bill can be like, this is superseded by anything that happens at the federal level.
Well, it would be anyway. Well, I don't. Yeah, you can't really just opt out.
States' rights.
They've been gone for years. Alaska, you thought they were okay, but then they turned on you. Gosh, imagine if Ron Wyden turns on us one day. It'd be like pro wrestling.
he's holding out for the big money.
Catch us all by surprise. The heel turn. Well, here's another story about turning bad after you've gone to the light, being poisoned again, is Germany.
They're going to switch over to Windows from Linux. About 13,000 workstations running OpenSUSE will be migrated to a current version of Windows. No!
So the excuse they give here is that some of the other people and other, like not directly for the government, but working on other things, are using Windows. And they might be using the same applications, so they don't want extra development fees for doing both. But a lot of, and they mentioned some of the other German states and even, you know, other places in the EU, they were doing just fine with it. And actually some were moving toward more open source. So it certainly seems like some money might have changed hands here.
They could probably do whatever they need to do with Windows applications for the Linux users via like VDI, virtual desktop infrastructure or something like that. But
yeah, but you're talking about, you know, like we talked about last week, Barb from accounting, the one that's always getting fished. What's the German version of Barb? So, yeah, I don't think you can expect much from them. I wonder, one of these places had their own, it was Berlin, I think, had their own version of Linux.
Oh, yeah.
And I imagine that was to build a desktop environment that was easy enough for.
Well, that you see that kind of stuff with Windows as well. I mean, you don't just install Windows on 13,000 machines. You set up group policy and probably a central Windows image and probably network booting and do it all that way, because nobody wants to install Windows on 13,000 machines, just like nobody wants to install Linux on 13,000 machines. So it might have just been a reporter not understanding. I guarantee you that there will be a customized version of Linux or Windows for those 13,000 machines. It's not going to be vanilla Windows 10.
We'll see, I guess. Actually, we probably won't hear anything more about that.
It could also be a negotiation thing, because it's like, we want a better deal on our licenses over here, so we're thinking about switching. And then Microsoft's like, all right, we'll just charge you $1 per machine.
No, it was so Merkel didn't do well in that last election. She had to form a coalition, and this was one of the concessions for the coalition, as we switch back to Windows. So that really points to somebody.
That is definitely political.
They bring up, in that article, they point out a good thing. It's like, when you, let's say you're going to do, you know, road repairs, and you need a fleet of trucks. No one says, go get me a fleet of BMWs. They say, we need a fleet of trucks, go get offers. But this was, we must have Windows. So,
but Microsoft wanted to cooperate with this open source initiative. What's going on?
Now, we talked about this story. It's been, I think it was last year sometime, right?
I think it was just been, we covered it originally last year, but there was an update on this a few years ago, and it was like, I don't think this legal maneuvering is going to work. Turns out it didn't.
Well, thankfully it didn't. And this is kind of convoluted, so let me try to run through it very quickly. Patent trolls. When patent trolls are coming after you and they're like, we own this patent, you better settle, you can call for a review, a patent review. And it, you get together a team of people in the industry and some government people, and they look at, is this
a patent troll?
Yeah. Is there any validity to this? And
that process is not possible if it's an international patent.
Well, no, this has to do with, so like we were talking about before, you have to sue to start that process. An individual cannot sue a sovereign, which would be like, if I wanted to sue Kentucky for a patent troll, I'm not allowed to do that. Well, it turns out Native American entities, states, whatever, I don't know what they call them, they have that same protection.
Like as if they're sovereign nations.
Exactly. So you can't, if they own these patents, then you can't do that with them. So, was it GlaxoSmithKline? One of these drug companies was patent trolling or something. And so what they did is they moved all of their patents over to the Native American tribe.
To try to avoid the patent troll review.
And you're like, you can't sue us because we're Native American.
Well, that failed.
Yes, it failed. And it turns out some other people had done the same thing with that same tribe. They were apparently known for that. And so here's one for the good guys.
So we'll see how this actually turns out once the patent is reviewed. It'll probably be dropped.
Great deal for the Native Americans, though. They didn't have to do anything, and they got $1 million a year as long as they protected those patents per patent.
Nice.
That's good money. Well, here's one that I don't know. What do you think about this? Do you think this is, I think this is horrific government waste.
At first, I was really offended by this, but then I thought about the amazing level one Digital Mercenary series that you should all just stop and go watch right now, because that is an, that content is evergreen. It will survive the test of time.
Let's be fair. That cost you nothing. The taxpayers did not put any money into that.
That's true.
But they did put $150,000 into this. Now, let me give you argument number two that has to do with that. Level 1 Digital Mercenary series was created by people who have business experience. This was created by the government, who, by definition, is the antithesis of business experience.
They're going to exist, success or failure. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The idea was that the government would create a video game to teach entrepreneurial skills to the new generation. And the connection to the Digital Mercenary series, I feel like we're a little bit like Johnny Carson. It's like we're doing the thing, and then we open the envelope, and it's like, here's the connection. The Digital Mercenary series and the government thing is, the government sort of sees the coming service economy. Like, corporations are going to be Google-sized, or they're going to be like 5 people in the future, probably. And a lot of freelancing, a lot like the Amazon truck drivers, where it's like, you're going to work endless hours for peanuts chasing that carrot because, you know, you own the company or whatever. That's what our future economy looks like, unless something changes dramatically to shift the balance of power back into the hands of the citizenry. And so, as individual citizens, they need a better ability to do business management and that kind of thing. And so the government's like, well, we can solve this by spending $150,000 on video games to teach people how to like run a simulated restaurant with like Restaurant Tycoon. I'm not sure that's the best way to solve that, but that's what they had in mind.
But also, we don't know that it was 150. We know it was at least 150.
Oh, yeah.
Because other agencies could have been involved. But the other thing about it is, they talked about the things that it would teach you, and you'd expect it to be like, you know, here's how you do payroll, and here's how you manage hours, and here's how you do inventory. But it was a lot. They had moved up to more importance things like, you know, managing your crazy employees and, you know, workplace diversity and stuff like that. So I think in a way they're trying to teach them how to navigate the minefield that is the small business right now in the SJW age.
If anything, managing the forum has taught me, it's like, let's get some productivity about the Island of Broken Toys. I love you all.
Can you imagine the forum running as a business? you just wrap it up. Just liquidate, because, you know, it's never going to work.
It's like, no, Bob, this is what we're working on this week. We're not talking about that because there's no, like, it's just a tar pit. Just talking about that just makes everybody angry.
Well, moving into the social media series of stories, we had 2 huge social media stories this week. And I think actually this wasn't the first one, but this was a big one. The Twitter conference call.
The stock has plunged 21%. They've purged so many accounts. So many accounts.
Yeah, and it turns out the robots trading on Wall Street, and I mean both robotic human beings and actual AI, did not care for the numbers that they put up in that earnings call, and they began to sell savagely. 21%, that's a lot of money. That's an insane amount of money. They were lower than expected engagement per day, lower than expected users because they had just deleted half of them, and lower than expected earnings as well, I believe. So not looking good for Twitter.
I wonder who's going to buy them.
That's a good question. And how do you make Twitter, how do you monetize it? Because do you see growth in Twitter's future ever again?
I don't think you can monetize. I think the only way to monetize it would be to dramatically cut the cost of operation to like 4 guys and just everything else is automation.
But they're doing the opposite, because the other part of this conference call was the quote unquote health. And we got a story about that later. But the health thing is meaning like we have to scrutinize everything so that no one gets offended. And the only way you can do that is either develop incredible AI, which we don't have, and I don't think that's realistic, or just hire a bunch of blue-haired people to do it. And I think they're going with the latter. So
the literal entire population are the pearl clutchers. Oh, land snakes!
Oh, I can't. Well, they would never wear pearls because that's an animal product.
Twitter, they have Periscope for video conferencing, and they're part of the action here. They're going to suspend repeatedly abusive Periscope commenters.
Yeah, so Periscope, you go live, and it's always a live situation. So the comments are there. They're live. And it turns out they've got this weird way of dealing with it, where you can like summon a committee immediately and people can vote on whether a comment is toxic, but it doesn't follow you. You don't have like a reputation of toxicity. So they're going to change it so that when you, like, if you get the Council of Toxicity votes you down once or twice, then you're going to get that reputation and you might get suspended for your toxic comments.
That sounds amazing and also horrible.
I'm not a Periscope user. I don't know how bad it can be, but I imagine, you know, you're immediate. It's kind of like Twitch.
Yeah.
You can give that immediate feedback. You've got a pretty good idea they're going to read it, and people really like to troll that.
It's going to be amazing watching that system flounder with Alex Jones type people.
Oh, well, that's another big story. Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing.
And so this is, you know, more of what we talked about in the other one. This should have come first, but this is just them saying they're all bots and, you know, fake accounts, and we got to clean them up.
143,000 developer apps were suspended last quarter. That's apps. That's not people. That's apps. And this is mainly to do with GDPR compliance and, you know, just making it easier to get a hold of, like, the rules for the Twitter developer program have changed a bit, but they didn't necessarily follow up on getting everybody to opt into the new rules.
I think one of our apps might have been caught by that. Not a level one app, but one that we deal with for somebody else in our professional world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's like, this looks like a bot. It's like, no, it's just terrible.
I think it's kind of against the rules, but it's one of those situations where they're like, this is probably against the rules. We're going to do it because you're paying us. And I think Twitter might have finally caught on to that. Oh. So they've also been accused, and I think they actually did admit later that this was true. They're being a little skewed.
The Council of Toxicity caught up Trump Jr. and the Republicans. That's what you're saying, right? Because the Vice News headline is, Twitter appears to have fixed the shadow ban of prominent Republicans, like the RNC and Trump Jr.'s spokesperson. So literally, that, you know, Council of Toxicity saw these accounts and shadow banned them so that nobody would see their tweets or what they were doing.
Well, that's certainly how Vice is spinning it. They, you know, Vice is very lefty, so they constantly go back to the idea that they weren't banned because of the things that they said or who they were or where they were on the political spectrum, but because of the things that they were saying. I think a lot of people pointed out that some of them weren't really saying anything inflammatory. They were just like, you know, campaigning and so forth.
So what you're saying is the blue hairs that are employed to police this are naturally going to bring their own biases into things.
Well, that's been proven time and time again.
That seems obvious.
I think it was worse than that. It was not a level where it was like individual flaggings. They had removed them from one of the dropdowns. It was a total shadow ban. And so that had to be a decision on a programming level.
Yeah. I think that in order for the blue hair committee to do its job, who said it is going to have to be anonymized. Like, you're just not going to have an option not to. You're going to have to give them the context of the conversation, I guess, because, you know, one reply might seem inflammatory until you look at the context of the rest of the conversation. But if you can see who it is, you're naturally, especially for famous accounts, you're naturally going to get that thing.
You know, I think a lot of it was probably based on immigration, for example. So you're never going to be able to hide what that is.
True.
They did undo it after they caught some flack, but it just goes to show you that, you know, your favorite sources can be very politicized.
If we can't do it with this, how are we supposed to do it with fake news, which is even harder?
Yeah, exactly.
or with Alex Jones and InfoWars.
As foreshadowed, Alex Jones. So Facebook, and I believe the next story will be Twitter, but Twitter did follow up. Facebook's given him a 30-day timeout. They've sent him to the corner.
You know, when I read this story, his YouTube account was down also completely. Like, if you went there, you just couldn't get there.
Oh, it was YouTube, not Twitter. You're right, yeah. So YouTube followed up. Now, they claim that individual videos, I don't know what the videos were about because they're gone. But they're saying now that, you know, he's on very thin ice. He can come back in 30 days.
His YouTube channel is back now, but very briefly it was gone.
I think they gave him another strike, so he's on two.
And Facebook he's out for 30 days on Facebook's platform. But yeah.
So this shouldn't surprise anybody. You know, Alex Jones, I think it's pretty obvious that, and even, you know how we always talk about listen to the earnings call.
Yeah.
Because that's in the, that's when the reality comes out and they stop the bullshit. And if you look at Alex Jones' divorce case, he totally says, it's a character. I'm playing a part. I'm entertaining people. Don't take my son away from me. You know, like that's his argument. So.
Oh, because the wife was like, you're a crazy person.
Exactly.
Wow.
So it's clear if you, you know, read between the lines. I think, I don't know. I felt like people who think Alex Jones is totally real are, it's kind of like believing that pro wrestling is totally real.
You're saying it's not? What?
But that's not to say that there aren't some nuggets of truth, you know, because that is the most effective way to.
Yeah.
To do that kind of thing. You know, you mix in some truth and then the crazy stuff. And people are like, well, he was right about that. But yeah, I don't think Alex Jones should be silenced. But I think people should be smart enough not to buy into it totally.
Seems like that's fixing our education system and making the population smarter as a goal rather than control.
Tough thing to do. But, you know, we talk about Detroit where they just showed him frozen over and over. It's like, well, maybe we could start here. Here's a first step I see we could start. We could do
Alex Jones is Exhibit A in like dealing with online media in a high school. That would be a, I would like to go to that high school. That would be really exciting.
So we talked about earlier, you know, the Twitter earnings call. Well, Facebook had their own. Facebook was a lower percentage, but I think at the worst they were down like almost $150 billion.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy amount. And it's the same reason the numbers were not good. People are just, they're not using Facebook like they used to. And the whole Cambridge Analytica and Securus and all that, it hurt them pretty bad. And it's finally catching up with them.
They're still growing, just not as fast. And that's starting to spook people. It's a little bit like a, maybe a canary in the coal mine situation where maybe the canary was just coughing and there's not actually anything wrong with the canary, but everybody was expecting the canary to cough. So they're fleeing.
It's developing loose stool.
So everybody is freaking out. It may be nothing. It could be colon cancer, but it may be nothing.
Well, you also, if you look like the Twitter story, they were up something like 80% this year.
Yeah.
So this often in, you know, investing in the stock market, you get a big meteoric rise and then a big pullback as well. But 80% versus 21%, you know, that's healthy maybe. But of course, it makes headlines. And we love to hate on the social media, right? Because everybody, it's like you can feel good. The Schadenfreude of, I'm sure I pronounced that incorrectly. But yeah. And of course, immediately, based on this.
We need to fire Zuckerberg.
Now, when it says shareholders, it means very specifically some of these guys who are activist investors. And they've been trying to get rid of Zuckerberg for a very long time. Specifically, they don't want him to be both chairman and CEO.
So any opportunity that presents itself, they're trying to get him out.
Now, he has the preferred stock, the Class B stock. So he actually has more power because of that, even without the percentages. So he can stop this. And he has in the past. But this time, I think they might have gotten the vote. So at the next meeting, they will vote. I don't know if he can veto that. But it's interesting. Almost every other major company, at least, you know, with market caps this size, have already separated chairman and CEO. Yeah. They all feel like it's a safer way to do business.
Well, in a lot of other meteoric companies' rises, the people that were involved originally, like Zuckerberg, have given up a lot more in order for financing and control and things like that. But since its inception, Facebook has never really had a money problem. So the CEO, so Zuckerberg hasn't really had to give up really anything.
And do they have a money problem now? I mean, they're still...
No.
Insanely rich and profitable.
Yeah.
So, although if you're a shareholder, you lost 21%. And if you're a recent buyer, that hurts. That's painful.
But in other news, Facebook has signed an agreement with Washington State to end discriminatory ad targeting. This is another thing that came out of that earnings call.
So the story was about you could go in Facebook's, if you bought ads, you could be like, don't show this ad to Latino people.
And it could was be, that wrong? Should we not have done that?
And it was specifically about housing. And we've got those HUD laws here in America. And you cannot discriminate when it comes to housing. It's like, we don't want those their kind in our neighborhood. You just can't do that. It's totally against the law. So Washington sued them. And I guess this is the settlement. They've agreed to stop doing that. and work with Washington State to do whatever they want.
Facebook's reaction was basically like, well, we didn't intentionally set up to exclude that. It's just a natural consequence of the controls that we give advertisers for advertising on our platform.
But advertising based on race, you know, you had, if you're Facebook and you claim to be this new age, you know, consider everybody, love everyone, workplace, diversity, you know, they got plenty of blue hairs. Someone on some level had to be like, hey, you know, this API that we're building, it involves race. You can choose race. Maybe that's a problem.
What an amazing feature.
So, yeah, I'm sure they'll get rid of that everywhere. I think the EU also had problems with that. So I guess they'll just fix it everywhere.
This is what my favorite fake news story of the year. Facebook was forced to block 20,000 posts about snack food conspiracy after PepsiCo has sued. So Pepsi has these like...
We don't have this here.
They look like Cheetos. They're just...
Kirkure?
This is in India. But apparently they melt like plastic. And so there's fake news on India, on like India websites or whatever Facebook is connected to, that say that these things are made out of plastic because they're so terrible. And Pepsi is like, no, they're not made out of plastic. They just happen to melt like plastic.
Yeah, and because of the way Indian law works, you're allowed to get things taken down if you feel that they're defamatory. And Pepsi was like, this is defamatory toward our chips or whatever, sticks, and you must take them down. So they took down every video that has to do with it. But a lot of them were sort of lampooning the idea that they're plastic. Because if you think about it, you make plastic from oil, and you lose stuff along the way there. So a barrel of oil, you're only going to get a certain percentage of plastic out of that. So like, how would making these chips, a barrel of oil versus a barrel of corn or a barrel of rice, how would it make any sense to actually make chips out of plastic? That would be the dumbest move that you could make, but people are insistent on it.
Well, at least they didn't stone anybody to death this time.
That is an improvement, yeah. Well, who would you stone? The delivery guy?
Yeah, or the store that carries it. It's like you're poisoning our children.
Some guy stocking a vending machine just gets knifed in the back. I can see that happening.
We shouldn't laugh about that.
Oh, and once again, I have screwed up the alignment here. This is a Facebook story. We should have done this before the other one.
Facebook has added downvotes. So when you repost our content on Facebook, now you can downvote it.
Woo. This is a pretty cool image here where they've got the Roman gladiator and the thumbs down. Yeah, so basically, I'll show it to you here. It is exactly like Reddit, except on the other side. And they've only rolled this out to a small number of Facebook people. So if you see it on yours, you're one of the lucky few that you're being beta tested with downvotes. And I don't think it tells you who downvoted. But if you hate things on Facebook, you can express that now. And this, you can still do the angry face click in addition to the downvote. So you can doubly express your hatred.
Are you really sending a message to the person who posted it or just to the algorithm? Because this is how the algorithm establishes an echo chamber just for you.
Yeah, you are feeding... You're selling them data when you do that. It's like, oh, mark on the advertising program a profile that this person doesn't like X. I've also noticed a lot of people will downvote. Like, if you're posting something just to call attention to it, it's like, oh, look what a Ajit Pai is doing. People will downvote it. They're like, ooh, Ajit Pai. And it's like, no. We're bringing light to it. People should find out. I know you don't like it. That's the point. No one likes it, but we need to tell people about it.
Kind of like this news program. It's like, I don't want to watch the news. It's too depressing. And it's like, but you have to.
Yeah, we had one comment. It was like, hey, I found you guys through the Linus Tech Tips. And this is really depressing.
It's not, we're in this together. Like we all, like that's why we tell you is because it's like, we're like you, we think it's a problem and we want to fix it.
When I'm putting the news together, I do try, unless it's just fluff. If there's a good news piece, I definitely want to throw it in there because it's nice to have that. It's kind of like, you know, the, when you eat the sushi, what's the stuff you eat in between sushi bites to the pickle?
The ginger?
The ginger. It's like the ginger, you know, it cleanses your palate, gets you ready for the next horrible thing that happens.
That's why we give you the nonsense on Friday. Cleanses your palate for the next week.
But yeah, we had the Wyden stories this week and the Massachusetts stories. It's just that there's not that much great news that's serious. So.
All right. We'll see you in the next one.
Maybe there'll be more good news tomorrow. The only way you can find out is to tune in.
Woo! And don't forget to cover our hardware videos, because new hardware.
Watch them. Don't cover them.
Yes. That's what I meant.
Unless you're a news outlet of your own, then you could cover them.
No one cares.